everybody. It's me again. Nice to see all of you. Ready to explore advanced Windows Defense. It was with a C. You know, I'm Australian. That's why the spelling was different. My friends come and warn me straight away. Just to make it clear, it wasn't a spell mistake. Anyway, so today we are going to talk about Windows and how what we're doing to make Windows more secure. For the ones they don't know me, my name is Erdal Özkaya. I work for Microsoft as a cybersecurity architect. I'm part of the global cybersecurity practice. I think I met with most of you. I wrote lots of certification courses, done lots of study on the field. Hopefully, I'm going to be able to share some stuff with you today. So, ready to start? All right, you know what? I want to start with you. So, I want you to be honest. Who never downloaded cracked software before? Hence, never? An e-book? Beautiful, you know, all of us, we hate them. The question here is, which I always ask, why are the hackers are giving this us for free? I mean, why they spend their time to give you a piece of software which costs lots of money for free? Did you ever thought about it? So, I'm pretty sure you all think your computer is safe, right? Do you know exactly what is running your computer? When did you done a proper checkup on your own system? Forget about your company's one. Security starts with you. If you are not secure, the rest is going to be like domino effect. Anybody wants to answer? Sorry, I'm usually talking to you guys, interactive. For the ones that are watching the session live, sorry, but you can write via Twitter. You know, the session is recorded and broadcasted right now. Nobody wants to say anything? Okay. So, most of you don't know. Again, this has nothing to do with today's session, but I want to give you a message before even I start. If you don't have a secure computer, don't expect anybody else to have it. For the persons that have kids, who is restricting their access? Like, whose kid doesn't have any admin access? Can I see hands? You know, 50-50, and that's what I notice a lot. Or can I see the administrators? Hands up. I want you to be honest. Who thinks you have more rights than you're supposed to have? Many, many hands. And for the ones who's listening to the session, I believe the same thing applies to you. You know, I travel a lot. Probably you notice from my accent, I make this joke all the time, but I love it. Because I hate to read it in the feedback saying, hey, this guy has an accent. But seriously, not my fault. For the repeat, I apologize. Turkish parents, born in Germany, living in Australia, now moved to Dubai. This is what's coming out. So, sorry. But as I say always, if you can understand me, that's good because this is the encryption key which is inbuilt. All right, another question. Who do you think you will win? A security policy with your firewall, encryptions, all the policies, or a human error? Windows 10. Yesterday we had a session, you missed it out, and during the session, my co-presenter forgot to press the apply button. And that's why Pastor Hash was still working. So he was like, I saw it in Twitter, someone texted saying, hey, that's what happened, why we couldn't stop Pastor Hash. Because we assume we are secure. We assume we're doing the right things without cross-checking. So let's do some context. I think it's obvious what I'm going to talk about today. So, modern cybersecurity. I'm pretty sure you hear this a lot. There is two types of big companies. One, they know they've been hacked. Two, they don't. If you don't believe me, check Acton News. I mean, yesterday in my session, I had this as well. There was more than 100,000 incidents just this year. We are just in September, right? I mean, in Dubai, it's always summer. That's why I don't know. So, cybercrime, if you look at it, every day there is something in the news, even yesterday, right? For my American friends, they were blaming each other for some cybersecurity issues. And so, it's not just Microsoft, Cisco, Apple, Linux, it's everybody's issue. So, one more question. Who thinks, I mean, I know you all do, but who thinks there is a person in the world who has nothing to do with computers? Like your grandma, for example. If she has an ID, if she had a business, then, or he, you know, then somehow you are part of a computing system. Or if you have a bank account. So, cybersecurity. I visit so many companies. Now as Microsoft. I just joined Microsoft 9 months ago. And I meet always the IT guys, if not the CIO. I said, where's the CEO? Ah, he's too busy. Really? Like, I'm pretty sure. I want to ask you a question. Who thinks you have enough budget to cybersecurity or security? Enough budget. Who thinks who don't? Nearly all hands are up. I always ask this to the question when I meet the CEO. What's your budget? No budget. Security is our top priority, but we don't have much money. We are too busy buying new iPhones. Then I said, okay, think about the newspaper, New York Times. Your business name on top of it, saying hacked. Of course, straight away they say, oh, I hope not. So what are you doing not to be in that newspaper? Like the others a few minutes ago. Or how much would you pay to recover the damage? You see the numbers there. To be honest, I don't want to talk about numbers. You see the, I took it from a cost of cyber crime study. You see the cost for the industries. It's huge. So, you know, usually a cybersecurity talk always starts with script kiddies, right? Little kids, they think they are hackers. They think they know how to bring you down, sir. Yes, you, at the front. Little, they're like flies, I call them. Little, but if they're in your soup, you don't want to eat the soup. Then we have organized crime. Organized crime, you have, a couple of groups coming together, calling themselves something like Anonymous or something else. But now we have nations. Nation-supported hacks. You saw in the debate, if you watched it, one of them is going to be the American president, and they were talking about cybersecurity issues, right, Bill? And there was a debate about it. So someone was blaming a country, the other one was blaming another country. But it's true. Countries, they have their own cyber armies. It's not about weapons anymore. Just before I joined Microsoft, I was working with NATO. OTAN-NATO. I was invited there. I done a case study. I found out that the huge cyber mission, the secret bombs, the big truck which carries the bomb, it was hacked. You know, can you imagine? A terrorist is coming, you're pressing the button to bring the bomb down, but it's not flying because someone else is in control. So it's not just your identity anymore. Hey, Raymond. Hello. I think we started the session a bit before. Is he not late? Hello, come in.
I'm here.
Let me start from the beginning so he missed out.
I forgot to drink.
All right, attack vectors. For the ones that came to my session yesterday, it's the same. You know, they are categorized. They are in some limits, you know. I'm pretty sure you all understand it. Anybody doesn't know what any of this means? You're going to be able to download the slides anyway. So, you, the poor IT administrator, the IT decision maker, the security administrator, you have so many stuff to deal with, right? User logins, cloud, spam, system updates, malware, data encryption, multi-factor authentication, blah, blah, blah. Who thinks you have enough time at work to explore more? We take all your time. When I say we, I mean the companies, not Microsoft, okay? But how does the hacker work? They have one mission, one vulnerability to work with, one attack to be successful with. And it takes some time, but most of the time, based on the studies, it takes, you know, once the attack starts, up to 48 hours to be successful in your network. Then, in an average company, it takes more than 200 days to detect the attack. PostHash, for example. It's very easy. Yesterday we did demonstrate it, and the session topic was all tricks which doesn't work with Windows 10 or not. Someone complained in the evaluation saying this is all trick. Really? That was the session name. So all tricks still work. You guys, you think all the attacks are sophisticated. Trust me, they are not. Of course there are one, there are APTs which is very sophisticated, but I'm talking about the general, you know, I'm doing a PhD in the field, two masters. I spent lots of time besides being at Microsoft, the academic study. Everybody thinks, like, when you get sick, little flu, you think you are the, you know, especially if you're married, you tell your wife or your husband, oh, I'm sick, I'm gonna die. Hey, just a flu. Same applies to hacking. If your company is hacked, is we are in danger, but no. So, what can you do? Or what are the attackers doing? You wanna find out? Yes, okay. Beautiful, there is an attack kill chain. Reconnaissance, information gathering. Before you hack anybody, you have to first find out about the network. Right, Antonio? Then you have to be able to bypass the defenses. So to be able to bypass the defense, you have to know what they're running. Once you're inside, you have to understand how the communication is happening. And of course, it's like the bank. When you want, when you go to a bank, you want to know where the safe is to get the money out. When you're inside the network, what do you want? Active Directory. That's the safe, right? Because once you get the enterprise admin account, three dot. So here's a brief story. AJA Corporation. I made it up. Insurance company founded in 2002, has lots of budget, lots of employees. And here's the hacker. I hope you will like the name. You know, during the day, he's a security researcher. His job is to analyze APTs. He's a Kerberos expert. But hey, he's not feel honored in the company. They don't treat him well. As a result, at night, he's becoming the Batman. No. He's becoming the bad guy. What is this bad guy doing? Writing an exploit, for example. Send an email out. I know, this is old story. If you came to my sessions, I talked about that before. But hey, it is still working. You know why? Because you all think it's an old thing. It's not gonna affect us. And I'm pretty sure one of you is gonna write in the evaluation, hey, Erdal, this is old tactic. But hey, it's still working. You know why? Because of you. You are still foolish. You still fall into the trick. You assume it's correct. You assume it has been taken care of. Yesterday, I done a Windows 10 example. In the keynote, you saw PostHash was blocked. But you have to take the necessary step. Enable credential guard to stop the PostHash. You know, then your device has been hacked. The connection has been established. This could be a browser attack, could be malicious attachment. And at the end, they will steal your credential. Once they steal your credential, they will expand into your network. They will try to exploit some, plant some kernel mode malware. They will use PostHash and, you want some water? It will help you to digest. I hope you get the joke. Once you hacked, it's too late. You can change the story. It's the same thing. You know how it all starts? Why a single email? You send it, someone receives it, someone clicks on it, And I don't know if you noticed, NATO. So, who believes you will not be infected like that? I want to see hands, seriously. One or two, nobody? Okay, here's a case study from Verizon, from last year. If an attacker sends 100 emails, 23 people will open it, 11 people will open the attachment, and it will all happen within the first hour. So, do you really want me to move ahead and talk more? I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to shake you up. Wake up, guys. I need your help. I had a mission. I mean, if you came to my sessions at Ignite, yes, the funny speaking German and Turkish Australian Dubaian guy, I'm confused as well now, is telling this story again and again. It's like you give advice to a young child. Don't touch a top, they will do it. Study, they will not. But as a parent, as a father, as a brother, whatever, it's your job to repeat it again. I feel I'm your brother, the younger one. And I'm repeating it because it's your job. Okay, let's talk about Windows Defense. What do we do at Microsoft? We know the stories. We always assume we are hacked. So we have assumed breach. We believe in assumed breach. So what we do is we have protect, detect, and response strategy. So first of all, you have to be able to protect the attack, to protect your defenses, your assets. To be able to protect it, you have to detect the attacks. And you have to know how to respond to it. Here's Windows 2016. I'm not going to talk too much about it. But it was announced this week. Credential Guard, we had a demo yesterday. Please go watch the session. It prevents past the hash via just enabling a group policy. It is a virtualization-based security. We have remote Credential Guard. Again, it works with Credential Guard. It's there to protect your RDP sessions. We all suffered with some RDP attacks in the past. Or if you're not using the right mitigation, maybe you are still part of these attacks. JIT, J-I-T, or just enough administration. Remember I asked a question in the beginning? It will, look at the right, the orange side. It will just give you the required job task, what you need to do. Yes, I know I saw some hands. They knew what they're having, but this is gonna ensure that the admin has only what they need to have. The just enough administration works really well with just-in-time administration. Windows 10, yesterday I had with Raymond a very nice session, which we covered some in details. If not, please go ahead and watch the sessions later. There are many stuff. I'm not going to cover all of them today, but we invested lots of time to help you be more secure. Please, if you're an enterprise customer, it's already included in your licensing. Go ahead and enable it. Okay, assumed breach. Microsoft. Now, as Microsoft, I know what we're doing to make Windows more secure. Remember I said we assume breach. And for that, we try to create a mitigation strategy. We have what we call SDL, Security Development Lifecycle. Our job at Microsoft is, before we ship anything out, to follow some procedures to make sure that whatever we ship out is secure. Of course, I know that as a security professional, this is not always the case. Hackers gonna try to do their best to find exploits because they gain lots of money from that, right? Like ransomware. Anybody doesn't know anybody that who was not affected with ransomware? I think we all were somehow a friend called you or you or your, someone. You know someone who was infected with ransomware. Anybody doesn't know anybody? Really? Wow. I'm gonna come take a photo with you, right? You're lucky. Nobody calls you, really? Man, I get so many calls. Oh no, please help me. I said, I can buy you a drink, to help you digest. So, attackers are investing lots of time. But the one thing which we or any other company can't find out is how much money does the attacker spend. So, We try, our strategy is to have a data-driven software defense. We analyze, then we build, then we evaluate with our offensive security team. So what do we do is, we have some external sources, like all of you. We gain some information from there. Then of course we have, I believe, now look, I'm Microsoft now, last year I was not, and I was speaking this stage again. I'm proud to be Microsoft because we have such a great talent, not you Antonio. We have such a great talent, you know. We have our own red team, blue team. They don't know each other. We try to, red team is attacking, blue team is trying to defend. Where we, you know, collect all this information to make Windows more secure. The red team basically works all the time to, before, even after we ship the product, to find vulnerabilities. And the idea is, of course, to create a real life model protection, 100% protection. So for that, the red team works consistently and they find to launch attacks where we pass this to the blue team to implement it in the Defender APT, which I'm going to talk shortly. All right. Now I'm going to do some demos as well. Or Raymond is here. Raymond can do it. So you might feel like talking as well. Didn't you say hi to everybody?
Hi, everyone.
Okay. So what are the mitigation strategies? First of all, this is really important. Look, demos, I can do all day. I'm pretty sure you read one of my books, one of my certifications, which has lots of hacking inside before I joined Microsoft. But before using the tool, I need you to understand that tool is the second part. First, know the mentality. If you know the mentality, if you understand the attack is mindset, then you can protect against it. So, at Microsoft, it's our job to try to make the attacks harder. We try to eliminate the class of vulnerabilities. We try to break the exploitation tactics. We try to have proper protection strategies. And for that, we spend a lot of time to make the vulnerabilities more expensive. Why? Currently, it's really cheap to find vulnerabilities. You can just go to exploit/db.com, for example. There are lots of vulnerabilities. Get software called Metasploit, copy, paste, launch attack. Seriously, that easy. Okay, you have to know what you're doing, that's different, but we're trying to make this harder. We're working closely to find what is causing vulnerabilities, and we're working very hard to minimize the effects. So, that's the most important slide. Even with you or with us, we are in the same boat. You are our customers, and it's our job to work with you as Microsoft to make you more secure. We try to rapidly respond to attacks. Why? Because we want you to rapidly protect and update it constantly. But I want to ask one more question. I keep asking the question, who does implement critical updates within the first 24 hours for their server environment, for example? I want to see hands. Okay, forget about servers. Your own personal computer. There is a, not Microsoft guys, you put your hands down. I want to see hands. Who is updating their computers regularly? When I say regularly, first 24 hours, hands up please. 48, 72, 1 month, I want to see hands, 1 month. Do you see the hands? You know, all what I need to do is, before I buy Brian's book, I implement an attack. I got 1 month time frame to launch my attack. All right, security is more than just a code that we write. I mean, we work with Intel, we work with Adobe Flash, Adobe, and probably you saw it in the keynote, Satya announced it, that Adobe is moving to the cloud as well. So, we measuring the impact of our strategy to make you more secure. Okay, now, I want Raymond to speak a little bit because he's standing here, you came late, past the hash.
Past the hash.
You know Raymond, right? Raymond, who are you quickly?
Okay, I'm Raymond Convalius. I'm an architect from the Netherlands, and I've been presenting with Urgel for the past few years at TechEd and Ignite, and I'm happy to be back. Well, Pass the Hash, probably the best known attack of the latest years. We've seen numerous demos of how easy it is to use a tool, probably Minikatz, to steal the credentials, and we've even saw it in the keynote session last Monday, that the lady just demoed Minikatz.
And Johnson, our VP.
Yeah. To just show how easy it is to steal your credentials, or steal credentials from a certain PC to do the hack. So, actually what we have to do here is make sure that we protect those, especially domain credentials, on the PC, so that the hack cannot be spread throughout your network. So, usernames and passwords. What you steal with Minikatz are the secured password, the encrypted passwords that you can steal and that you can just reuse and be anyone you want to be on the network, as long as that person has ever been on your system, if you are the local administrator on that system. So, we've been doing all sorts of encryption, and it seems that the encryption doesn't help if you can reuse the encrypted password. So what happens on a network? Well, what you see happening most of the time with those hacks is that one certain system is being hacked. It can be a system of somebody who was the local administrator on purpose, who gets an email and gets trapped into something. And then that person, his credential is stolen. Then the credential of somebody on the network is being stolen. And then all of a sudden the network is no longer yours.
I don't know if you noticed, I put some Apple images there as well, Apple computers. So it's not just a Microsoft issue.
So the whole thing is about what can you do to contain the administrator, to make sure that the administrator doesn't have access to anything that he or she doesn't require to have access to. So
the good admin and the bad admin, basically. A bad admin is who has access more than they're supposed to have. Why? Because you make the environment more vulnerable. And a good admin is where what we use, for example, 2016 is only what you need to do.
So essentially, in every hack, you see what's happening is that the hacker tries to get local admin access to one single system. And as soon as that happens, the hack is being forwarded. Because at that time, the system is no longer yours. The hacker is able to read the secrets from the system and move on to the next part of the network. And that's a challenge. The challenge is how to make sure that the administrator becomes less vulnerable.
Well, you saw the social engineering, how it works. And you think only, when you watch someone else, you always think it's that someone else is vulnerable. When did you done the test to yourself? I want to see who is doing regular penetration testing in their organization. Not too many hands. Who is doing internal penetration testing, security testings? Again, not too many hands. So that's why, I mean, we as Microsoft, we know that. That's why we try to create some mitigation strategies. Like with Windows 8, we reduce the clear text exposure. With Windows 8 again, we remove the credential deletion of sign off. With Windows 10, we added remote credential guard. You have this.
And not just remote credential guard, we added credential guard.
Many other stuff as well. We talk about it.
Okay. I missed your introduction.
Ah, you were late. Good.
So move on.
All right. So what we do is we analyze all these attack types and we try to make you more secure. How? First of all, we remove the private key certification, public key from the bay. What we do is also then we implemented credential guard. If you didn't watch the session yesterday, please go ahead and watch it. Basically, most of the current attack tactics, they are not working anymore. If a hacker steals your password, they have very limited time frame to be able to use it. Even if they use it, they're not going to be able to move to your domain controller because we, for example, recommend POL. Did anybody hear POL? Privileged Access Workstation? It's a technet. Please go ahead and read it. It's basically the idea of POL is we have multiple stuff on our computer. If your credential has been stolen, someone can use lateral movement inside the network to move to the next stage. With POL, which we use also internally, we have dedicated machines which only connects, for example, the DCs. Only and only. No internet, nothing. This will also minimize the attack surface. So I highly recommend it. Please go ahead and read it. So let's do some demonstrations. I don't want to get people sleep here. Raymond, what did you prepare for us?
So yesterday I showed how Mimikatz is being used on the system. But Mimikatz, well, the tool is actually called by every antivirus engine today. So it's kind of hard to just introduce that as an ordinary user and start hacking a system. Now what those users now do most of the time is they use something else. What do they require? They require access to the process that has all those secrets in there. And what's that process named? It's named LSASS. And what's the easiest way to get it dumped? Well, there is a tool for that. And it's from SysInternals, made by our friend, Mark Rosinovich. So what do those users currently do? They get process dump from somewhere, proc dump, and proc dump is not a tool that is called by any antivirus because it's a completely legitimate troubleshooting tool. And if you use proc dump, it's as easy as this. You tell proc dump to dump LSASS.
Zoom in, please.
And the result is a file, and that file can be emailed to the hacker, and now the hacker is able to just take that file, get the credential from that file, and start moving on the network on any system. That doesn't have to be a corporate system. It can be any system, it can be his own system somewhere on the network. So this is the easy way to create the dump. Now, what is Microsoft doing about this? Well, they did a lot of things in Windows 8, like making sure that you cannot get the clear text password and stuff like that, but the encrypted credentials are just as dangerous. So the real answer came in Windows 10 with Credential Guard. And Credential Guard, what it actually does, it uses virtualization-based security. So it creates this extra virtual machine on your system, and those virtual machine runs the replacement for LS, well, actually it's an addition to LSASS, LSAISO, and that process will contain all domain credentials of those users logged onto your system. So what you should do on Windows 10 is make sure that you enable Credential Guard. And there are a few ways to find out if you are capable of doing Credential Guard. Well, you have to know a few requirements. The first requirement is that you must have UEFI on your system, but that's probably, I hope so, normal nowadays. And your system must be capable of doing virtualization. And you can test that using MS Info 32. I showed that in the session yesterday. Or you can use the Device Guard and Credential Guard readiness tool. And this tool is a PowerShell script, and I will show it now. The DG readiness tool, and you can actually test if your system is capable of doing Device Guard, like this, Credential Guard in this case, Credential Guard. So this is the command, Device Guard readiness tool, dash capable, dash CG for Credential Guard. And if you start running this, it does every possible test to make sure that your system is capable of doing Credential Guard. Now I see red lines here, which might raise a flag, but the red lines here say, well, your system does not have a TPM. And the fact that it doesn't have a TPM is not a requirement for Credential Guard. It improves security, but it's not a requirement. And in the end, you see there is a little bit more that's absent from this system. There is no TPM. There is no MOR, which is a built-in security feature in your CPU, and there is no SMM mitigation, which is a security feature of the UEFI. Still, I am now able to enable Credential Guard, and with Credential Guard enabled, I am secure. So to enable Credential Guard, I can do two things. I can use this tool, but I have tried this and it didn't work for me. Or I can just use group policy and enable Hyper-V, and that's what I will do now. So first I will enable Hyper-V. And you just have to enable the Hyper-V platform. You don't need the management tooling. There is no need to have Hyper-V Manager on your system, because the only VM that will be running there will be not be managed by you. And the other thing you have to do is enable the group policy to configure credential guard. And that is what you do here. System, device guard, turn on virtualization based security. So if you enable this feature
and press apply,
for the ones who haven't been here, who were here yesterday, I forgot to press OK and then the things didn't work. But I enable virtualization based security, make sure that secure boot is enabled as a minimum, and then make sure that I enable credential guard configuration. And doing this, I can restart the system. And when it comes back up, the hypervisor should be enabled. And I have a process named LSA ISO, and LSA ISO is running in a separate VM. Well, running in a separate VM means that only authorized processes are able to communicate with LSA ISO. So if I try to use process dump, for instance, to get the contents of LSA ISO, I will just be denied access, because this is not a process that is allowed to communicate with LSA ISO. Let's see what happens if my system is fully configured. Takes a few more seconds. So here I am. Now the first thing I can do is check if turning on credential guard actually worked. I can use MS Info 32 for that. And if you look here, it will tell you that credential guard is running and that the service is actually there. This also means that if I now try to use process dump, I can still dump LSASS, because LSASS is still there in the kernel, but it only contains the credential of the locally logged on users. The domain user credentials are in LSA ISO. So if I try to use that, fast, but the result shows invalid access to the memory location. So I know there is a process named LSA ISO, but I cannot access it, and I cannot dump its contents, and I cannot take it away to anywhere else to steal the credentials that are on this system.
I think you got the idea. This is what we invested so far to make Windows more secure. Again, attack tactics, as I said, you can use VCE, for example. I mean, you cannot find it publicly anymore, but it's Windows Credential Editor, where you could to pass the hash, or you can use Metasploit, or many different software to test it. Get a Windows 10 and test it yourself. Don't rely just on me and Raymond. You will see that the mitigation finally works. All right, how can we protect the operating system? Windows has so many new stuff. Windows Defender, we spoke yesterday, Control Flow Guard, we spoke yesterday, please go and watch that session. But Device Guard, what is this Device Guard? I mean, when it was announced, I wasn't at Microsoft, and I was really, really, really very excited to hear about it. It basically locks down your PC and it only allows you to run trusted binaries. It's the opposite of what you do usually. Usually you have a blacklist. Everything which is not in blacklist was automatically trusted. Remember? But things have changed. We're taking things more serious now. And knowing there is hundreds and thousands new malwares, APTs created every single day, this will help you to be more secure because this malware is not going to be able to run anymore. It's going to protect your kernel against all latest vulnerabilities and attack vectors. And it will have a code integrity policy which can be signed to protect against many different malicious code, and you as administrator are going to be more secure. Like device guards, it's gonna take like 15 to 20 minutes to set it up. We created a video to be very honest, but I want Raymond quickly to show you what to do. We have a full session about that, but I want you who is here to see how device guard can help you to be more secure. Raymond, can you please go through?
Yes. So device guard is actually a mixture of hardware and software.
You go there, I fix that.
Hardware and software, as it leverages the fact that your hardware is capable of doing virtualization-based security, that your hardware is capable of using UEFI, and it uses a code integrity, as we've known from all those mobile platforms. So what you do here is if you start enabling device guard, first thing you have kernel mode security, which is actually boot time security, ensuring that only signed drivers are loaded during the boot of your system. And then there is user mode code integrity, which ensures that only software is running on your system that is there for your corporation. Now, first of all, if you start using device guard, the first thing to do is check if your system is device guard capable. So testing if it is device guard capable is something that you do with the same tool that I just showed. Only this time, I'm using the tool and I'm checking if it's capable to run device guard instead of credential guard. And here the outcome of the test is that this system is totally capable of doing device guard, but there are a few features there that I have to be warned about. Well, the first thing it says, well, you're capable, but there are a few kernel drivers there that you have to be aware of that are not covered by device guard. So if I now move on and I start enabling device guard, the first thing that I do is I have to do a scan of my system. And during this initial scan, it scans my system for all things there on my computer, every file, every executable, every kernel driver. And it takes everything that's there, and then you start running with this initial policy on your system. You do that in audit mode. Make sure that you run audit mode for a long time with device guard, because as soon as you start enforcing with device guard, well, you may run into situations that stuff doesn't run that's supposed to be running, and that things break. So first of all, I'm running a script here. And the script scans all my system. This script, it will run probably for like half an hour on your system, so I cut down the time that it is running here. But it takes a sample of everything that's running here and it creates an XML file. The resulting XML file is something that you cannot use yet for applying as the device guard policy. When you have this file, you have to convert it from the XML file to a binary file. So that's what I'm doing here. I'm using the convert from CI policy. Let's see if I can zoom in, yes. Convert from CI policy to a bin. No. Let's see if it moves on. Yes. If I have this policy, I can now use this policy in a group policy. So you have a bin file, a binary file that says, well, those are all the valid files of my system. I apply it in a group policy. So I first copy the file to a location where it can be applied from, and I tell the group policy, well, take this file and use it as my code integrity policy. So I pick up the file, copy it to a temp folder. So I put it in my local temp folder here. And then after putting it here in my temp folder, I'm going back to the group policy. And make sure that I make no typing mistakes. And I say in group policy, well, in this temp folder, there is my device guard policy binary file. So I click OK. And now I just reboot my system. And now the code integrity policy will be applied to my system. So I reboot my system, I log on back again, and now I can check if the policy has been applied. I can use MS Info 32 just the way I did it with Credential Guard. And MS Info 32, which I will be starting shortly, so I'm starting MS Info 32, and MS Info 32, it shows you, well, here in the bottom, it says device guard is running, and it's running in audit mode. So with device guard running in audit mode, you actually log every application or every executable that is being started on the system, and I can check that in the event viewer. So in the event viewer, I can search for the code integrity logs, and the code integrity logs will actually show that there are files there that are being started that are not on the list, and I can add those files to the list automated. There is a script for that. There is also a group policy, a PowerShell script that I can run to add all those files that were found in the event viewer and add them in an XML, and then add this XML to the original XML, create a new binary, and then apply that as a policy to your system. So in the end, you have a final XML and a final policy that should work and that you should be able to enforce to your system.
If you remember, during the beginning of the session, I asked, what is running in your computers? Do you know that? And you know, the question had a purpose. And this is the way where can you see from a trusted resource what is running in your computer. It's a beautiful forensic analysis. Yes, you can buy my book. I don't mind. Okay, read the book. Can I, question? Yes, sir? Sorry. 1 second, please. I cannot hear you.
So I love the process that you just specified. My question is, every time you do a Windows update, am I going to have to create a new master image of all the files that are supposed to be running? That could be painful. I have to do that Windows update every day.
All right. Windows update is in a trusted binary, so it should not affect you, okay? But if you keep, if you're building a new image with new software, or then yes, I think I got the question right. Windows update is in a trusted binary. We trust Windows update.
XML and a binary list of all the files. I mean, Windows Update is going to change some of those files potentially, right? Which means I have to rerun that whole process again every time I do an update.
But what?
Can you repeat the question?
So the question is, after you've created that XML file and created a bin file for the policy to run against, if I do a Windows Update and the Windows Update changes, X number of files, do I have to go through this process every time?
No, because what happens is, you know, in this case, you have to find out what you're after. Are you after to check the Windows updates files, which is, you know, it's trusted source, or you are suspicious of something, you know, the idea of device guard is to not let you run untrusted software. This, I can, if you want, I can show you some stuff right after the session as well, okay? Time. So, ATA, again, we spoke about it yesterday. There is another session going on about ATA as well. It's there to give you, again, another sight of what is running in your computer. It's cloud-powered, really good for investigation. So, quickly we can show you, if you can open that website, please.
One second. Not too fast.
So it will quickly show you what has run, like Passage, for example, or any known attack is going to be listed and logged in for you. You can use ATA to block it or to alert you. And it's, again, you need, I think, enterprise license to have that with some extra money. Yesterday, many people were saying it was cheap. To be honest, I don't know what the price is. So what you have to do is go to securitycenter.windows.com. If you have access to the website, you can log. Oh,
it's five,
six. You can come to the website. You can see the machines at risk, what has run, from where it has been run, what kind of suspicious files. You know, it's another way for you to see what is running in your Windows systems. And yesterday we talked about it. Most of the attacks are these days client-side attacks. You will basically put an extra layer of your client. So most of the security solutions that you have today is either in the network side or in the server side. This is something extra to protect you from the Windows side. And again, as one mark of vision, we have the Exchange Online APT, Windows, and ATA. Saying ATA, what is ATA? Advanced Threat Analytics. If you remember, I was talking in the beginning about attack vectors. So I call ATA, think about the banking system. Anybody coming from Europe here? I know we have many people. Sir, when you first swipe your credit card, what happened? The bank probably SMS you a call to say, are you in America? Someone's trying to use your credit card. Because the bank fraud system checks your behavior, I mean, knows that, hey, you live in Germany or Dutch, you know, one of the countries, and they call you straight away. ATA is like that as well. It looks on your behavior. It does a reconnaissance. Basically, it scans against all known attacks. If there is any abnormal things, such as that gentleman coming to Atlanta or someone logging at 3 a.m. or an admin deleting 2,000 accounts, I'm just making the number up, or an end user downloading, such as Snowden, 1.5 terabyte data. This can be flagged. And if there is any lateral movement past the hash, this will also log and flag this information as well. If there is any brute force attack or privilege escalation attacks, different methods, this will log it too as well. I got a quick demo for you here. Just to show you again, this is not an ATA session. My computer turned off, 1 second. You steal the power. I will come to this. Okay, it's opening. Can you turn it on while I continue with the story?
Yes.
Let me continue with the story. My computer. Basically, it's like ATA. It's the same engine anyway. It you can log in and see the behavior it's on. Use Windows Hello. Can you switch to my computer, please? Number 7?
Yes. You're on.
Am I? Hopefully, login today. There it is. I love, to be honest, Windows Hello. All right. This is my, just, you know, ATA dashboard. It's a demo account. You can see, in this case, someone run a remote execution attempt, someone tried to do pass the hash, you can always click to see who it is. Let me just log in. Hey. Anyway, while I'm here, let me try one more time. My password, I forgot the password, don't worry. So you saw the idea, right? I'm not doing an ATA demo here. So it logs everything and it tells you what's going on in the system as well. So the attack kill chain, remember? Now with ATA, it goes to the next step. Basically, I'm just gonna zoom in here, I think. Yes, next slide. I talked about that in the beginning. Here, no, I didn't. That red part here, it's gonna be there to help you regarding high privileged lateral movement cycle. Remember, in the beginning I talked about reconnaissance, this and that. Basically, it's gonna take an extra level protection to your admin environments. Can I get the microphone, please? The microphone. Can you turn on the microphone for me, please? Sound? Sound, please? I think you got the story. Now, I want to take it to the different level. I want to ask you a few questions. I start with my friend, Elias. What is important to you in your life, besides coming to my session?
My family.
Your family. Sir, what about you? What is important to you?
Food.
Food? Hey, but you know, food security is also important, right? Man, you smell so beautiful. I'm going to ask you, what is important for you?
Life, the universe, everything.
Everything. What about you?
Fulfillment.
Okay, you know, for me, as you said, of course it's my family. Bill, I know, your wife. Right? My family is important to me. Besides that, even though you are in the small corner, Mr. Elias, my friends, they're also important to me. Why? Because without friends, life will not be fun. My customers, my ID. I mean, this ID, I done a hacking session years ago, ethical hacking class. We found in Google many Australian IDs. And one of the websites, they done a little mistake. They published their database to Google, where you could just find them with a basic Google search. Back then, I wasn't using Bing as well, but you know. Your business, it's also important, right? You don't want to get hacked. Anybody wants to get hacked? Your customers. If you get hacked, your success is between fail or succeed, right? Your orders might be canceled. So your reputation, it also depends on that. Remember, we're talking about advanced defense, and I believe they are all in a chain which affect each other. Your career, I told you, I don't know. Final question. I'm gonna continue talking as well, by the way, but now you told me what is important to you. I wanna ask you, how safe is your computer? How safe is your computer? If you can answer this question, you can move to different paths. Look, I'm pretty sure you are going to ask me as well. Okay, it's good what Microsoft is giving you. What else? Like, this is software which I used to use before I joined Microsoft to verify what I'm doing. Picos, okay? By the way, I don't know them, seriously. I just love what they do. You can just install it in your environment and you can verify. You know, if you don't want to verify it via Microsoft tools, you can just come, run an assessment. To run the assessment, basically, I'm going to show you what to do later. But for example, you can come and click and see how secure your environment is. And it will verify. Like, this is a Windows 2003, my demo environment. You can just click and see what kind of CVE attack was successful, in which port, in which operating system, in which hash. So you can also verify all this stuff with third party as well. So yes, I'm using Microsoft, but feel free to come to assessment. You can just run a new assessment. I've done it already. Then you can just press in the report and get it out. Again, this is just to verify what you're doing. And the good thing is this is running in Azure. So this whole software is running in Azure to help me verify what I'm doing. You want to add something?
Nope.
All right. So my final question was, how safe is your computer? And if you came to my sessions before, that's usually how I end my session. But today, I'm not going to end my session with that. I'm going to let you know that we, as Microsoft, we believe we're doing everything to be in a better side, in security side. We ensure security to enable into your digital transformation through our platform, our unique intelligence, and partnerships. So we're dealing with all our power through our different teams to our best to protect you. We have a cyber defense operations center. I'm pretty sure you saw the videos all around. Forensic guys in the, you see that gentleman. Please reach your Microsoft representative in your company. Ask them to arrange your DCU tour, digital crime unit tour, digital crime unit. You'll be amazed. Like, I was lucky, second week of my job in Microsoft, I flew from Dubai to Seattle, and I was lucky enough to explore this. If security is your main concern, see what we're doing to help you to be more secure, besides our products and platforms. Before I take questions, I want to also tell you that Satya committed to security a lot. You watched his session. I'm not going to repeat what he said there, but security is our main priority. And we are doing everything within all our power to help you to be more secure. So if you have questions, please use the microphones. We have Microsoft at the back. If not, you can come closer. I already received many tweets. Please feel free to tweet. If you tweet, anybody who tweets is going to get some stuff. I will make sure you follow us so I can send you the license keys. Everybody who tweets, okay? Any questions? Public questions, if not, please come closer. I hope you enjoyed the session. Was it good? Thank you very much. Come on, together. Like in the la 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 la. So, congratulations. You are all now more secure. So, if you like the session, my name is Erdal Özkan Raymond Komvalius. If not, my name is Bill. So, please, if you liked it, make sure you have a late session, because the guys, they didn't like it, they will do. Questions, either from the microphones, if not, come here, please. And no questions, perfect. I'm taking the microphone off. I'm taking you to the right side here, please. Let's talk. Thank you very much.